In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am just the messenger. I find it hard to imagine that just about everyone in this room hasn't sooner or later used that phrase to stand outside of the line of fire when having to deliver a message, a decision, a verdict, a company policy that you knew wasn't necessarily going to be received well by the one to whom you were sent to speak it. In fact, you may have found yourself on your journey to that moment mumbling to yourself under your breath, "I am just the messenger. I am just the messenger." I think it actually does Christians well to have that same approach to understanding all that is in the scriptures that God would have us intend to share with the world around us. But let me explain what I mean. We find ourselves so often defending or defining for others what we believe and what we hold dear, and especially when we're encountering those that we know don't share that belief in the scriptures, a faith in the true God. It can become so challenging. We find ourselves wincing a bit almost when something we acknowledge to believe and hold as truth sounds so antagonistic toward the world in which we live and what the world wants to hear and what the world desires to hold. And so we find ourselves compromising. We find ourselves fudging a little bit. We find ourselves watering down and accommodating while in those moments, our best possible practice as a Christian would simply to speak the word, to let God speak for itself, nothing more and nothing less. Let the word explain itself. Let the word defend itself. Because we are just the messengers. We simply clearly share the word. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letters, at times never says exactly that phrase, but really is intimating that that is how he understood himself. Here at the beginning of this letter to the Galatians that will be a journey for us in the Sundays of summer ahead, we find him saying all but that as he insists that the scriptures are not of any human origin. Paul had a challenge on his hands. He had regularly the need to defend himself as an apostle, equal to the other apostles. He had those questioning, challenging whether he really had the authority to speak what he did, the way that he did, with the authority that he did. And so very, very often, when he's hearing, "Who do you think you are?" Paul has to respond with this mantra, "I'm just the messenger. What I speak is not of any human origin. This is not something any man made up," as he says it here. Paul clearly never had any doubt that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that there were times God was using him to be his instrument in the world, in the moment, to speak God's truth to people that needed to hear it. But instead of telling you about Paul, let's let Paul speak for himself. "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Paul's main points here in this section are just fascinating. But they grow even more fascinating if you consider this proposition, that it isn't just the Apostle Paul who could say these words, but it truly was any and every one that the Holy Spirit ever used to speak on God's behalf, recorded scriptures that we have in front of us. The more you study scripture from end to end, the more amazingly consistent you will find it to be. There is simply no other source of literature in the history of humanity that is anything quite like it. It was written over almost 2,000 millennia, almost 2,000 years. It records the words of dozens and dozens of men and women inspired by God to speak truth for him over that time. And yet it speaks a lasting, objective, universal truth that has led millions of people over thousands of years to place all of their hopes of being right with God, eternally welcome in his presence, living a life after the death of this life. But it's important for us to take this all a bit further. What does the word actually do in the lives of those who hold to it as God's truth? Well, it heals and makes whole in ways that nothing else of any other source could possibly do. It relieves guilt. It teaches love. It inspires selflessness and loyalty to God and to those God has placed in our lives to love. And it soothes the sting of death and creates a hope of a life beyond death that death cannot touch. And finally, ultimately, it offers a perfection as a gift to those who know Christ as the one who has accumulated righteousness for them as that gift. Living perfectly, obeying completely, always, in every temptation, every command of his Father. He accumulated righteousness in sinful humanity's stead so that through Christ's own innocent death, he can offer that perfect righteousness to every one of us sinners as the only means available for us to be approved to live with God forever, to be accepted and stand in God's presence forever, no strings attached. There is absolutely nothing that you and I will find in any other philosophy, any other pursuit of theology or religion that man has ever created for himself that will offer this. Everything other than scriptural Christianity requires every broken sinner to look within oneself to find the wherewithal to earn something from God, to earn some forgiveness, earn some right, to make oneself right with God. It all becomes working it out with God is almost some cosmic spiritual negotiation in every other source but Scripture. Paul has a very simple answer for that reality in these verses. He tells us simply, that's because this is God's word. It is not something that man made up. It is not of human origin. And then Paul points as proof to two ironically absurd realities of his own life to prove his point. Use two particular points of evidence on his mind here. The first one was that he was not taught one word of anything that he proclaimed or applied to the early Christian church of his day. He goes to great lengths to help us understand his process of becoming an apostle equal to all the other apostles, and he tells us in so many words, he was taught by Jesus Christ himself. And you start thinking that through. When did this happen? What else do we know from Paul's writings to help us understand this clearer? Well, he gives us a whole lot right here that we might be just looking past by not digging in a little deeper. He talks about his conversion experience, and he talks about how following that conversion experience and having to run away from Damascus for the purpose of saving his own life, he went out into the desert of Arabia. And then eventually, quietly, when everything had died down, he went back to Damascus. And note what it says here. 3 years of preparation time between the time of his conversion and the time he started to do ministry and proclaim the gospel to others. And what does he lay out for us? That Jesus Christ himself was the author and was the instructor during that time. So it's clear that Paul had the word to study, very likely the entire Old Testament scriptures, and you and I would understand that the Holy Spirit uses the word in all of its entirety, old and new. Maybe he had even a copy of one of the Gospels. But he also says here in so many words, Jesus and Christ himself was his instructor. And he'll take it a step further in places like 1 Corinthians 11, when he presents to us the scripture definition of the Lord's Supper. He says, I learned this from the Lord, and now I pass this on to you. And the words that he then writes in that letter are the words we use for the consecration of the sacrament, because they are a summary of everything that's been presented in the Gospels, clearly seen by the church of time as inspired words guided by God for our use, even in the most important elements of our worship and our proclamation of the word, our receiving of forgiveness and strengthening. But Paul also then adds a second dimension to the evidence. He sees himself as a walking, talking miracle. Not just the fact that he himself has been led to believe by Christ and that now is a powerful representative of Christ speaking God's word on Christ's behalf as Christ has instructed him to do, but he takes it back even a step further, out in front of his conversion. Remember that moment when he was heading to Damascus, he was actually riding his donkey there with documents in his back pocket that would allow him to arrest and imprison and certainly question and persecute Christians in Damascus. Jesus knocked him off his donkey, blinded him, and told him, you have persecuted me, now you will preach me, now you will proclaim me. And Paul wants us to understand just how miraculous and ironic that is. He talks about how he was zealous for Judaism and how it was practiced in Old Testament times. Well, we understand from the book of the Acts of the Apostles just how extremely zealous Paul was. Everything that Paul knew was really counterintuitive to this message that the gospel was presenting. And the change in Paul's life could never be accounted to any type of human intervention, because it's just counter to everything that you and I know to be true. Only the intervention of the Creator God with his saving, selfless love could first make Paul the persecutor, Paul the servant of Christ. At the time that Paul was pursuing Christians, before his conversion, he was known as Saul, Saul the persecutor, and he was feared. It's likely that at least every Judean Christian, those who lived in Palestine during that first decade after Jesus ascended to heaven, knew Paul by name and feared him and fled from him and likely hated him not as a person but for what he represented, the scourge of Satan upon the faithful. And yet, only through the same miraculous gospel grace could Christ lead this apostle Paul to listen to Christ's Holy Spirit and write life and eternity-shaping words that you and I would read on this third Sunday of Pentecost in June of 2019. Paul wants us to see and understand just what a miracle that is. That someone who was set against the gospel, who worked feverishly, and when he uses that word zealous, when he tells us just how intense he was, in the rest of his writings and the other historical accounts, we come to realize that he was willing to go to the depths of murderous violence in order to end Christianity as we know it, if it were up to him. But when we stop and think about it a bit, we realize that the story of the Apostle Paul that he shares here really isn't all that unique. It is, in essence, the personal story of every single sinful human being who has become a believer throughout time. By nature, every single one of us is self-centered and is a sinner working against God's will and God's word in our lives. Not one of us could ever come up with one scrap of goodness that could pay for the tiniest bit of sin that we've committed or relieve us of 1 ounce of our guilt. Left to our own devices, every last one of us by nature would work against God and His Word in Christ. Perhaps even to the same point of zealousness that murderous and violence that Paul set his own hand to. Yet every single one of us in this room that possesses a heart beating in faith for Christ knows the power of God's Word is what has worked that trust in us. It was the words of promise combined with a little bit of water that washed away our native sin, produced faith in our hearts, and made it certain that we are adopted into God's eternal family as His children. By nature, none of us can do a thing to change our reality, but it is the word spoken by those around us, those who love us, parents and grandparents, Sunday school teachers, neighbors, friends, teachers and pastors, words that deepened our trust, challenged our sinful perspectives, moved our repentant hearts to seek God again for forgiveness, acceptance, inspiration, guidance, direction. You and I know. We know that Paul is not just writing about his own experience, his own progression from unbelief to faith to proclamation of the word of truth, but rather he is offering a universal truth that every single Christian, every single person who will ever believe must experience and own. The gospel is not something man made up, Paul tells us here. The gospel is not of human origin. The fact that you read it, know it, trust it, and are certain of heaven eternally because of it is in itself defendable proof. The historic scriptures are not of human origin. Neither is the faith in your heart that those holy scriptures have generated. Your praises of your God this day, shaped by the word that He has proclaimed to you, those praises are not of human origin. The words of love, the words of challenge, the words of hope that you will speak when you share the gospel with your neighbors, your friends, your family members, the people you work with, when God places you in that pivotal moment to be His witness to truth, speaking His word clearly, simply, powerfully, that is not of human origin. Nothing about anything bearing a lasting connection to your eternity with God is of human origin. Praise God that He made certain that His Apostle Paul would tell you exactly that again today as a reminder we all need. And then walk from this place to live and confess your faith in Christ and your knowledge of this word every single day, because you and me, just the messenger. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.